Principle 5, any of the many names of God can be used when speaking. Praying to establish a line of communications generally means that the person we're talking to, we give them something that allows them to know that we know who we're talking to. In the military, in the police department, they use numbers, they use different kinds of letters, but here we have evidence that we are instructed in the Bible to speak to God really in many times by a name that really is synonymous with the petition that we're asking. I imagine several of you have studied courses where you've gone into those names. There's quite a list of them. I'm not going to do that tonight, but I am going to mention. We can call him Father. We can call him God. We can call him Lord. We can call him Creator, Provider, God of my salvation, Healer. Jesus said we can call him Abba, which is Dad. Now, my father, he's been dead now 20 years, 21 years, come September. If I see my father when I cross Jordan, I probably say, Dad. And you guess what? If he ever hears that word, Dad, come out of my mouth, he'll recognize it. If your Savior hears the word Dad, he'll know who's speaking, won't he? I think that's so wonderful that the God that created everything, that holds this earth in his hands, would allow his children. John, first chapter, 12th verse says, as many as believe, unto them I give the power to become my children, the children of God. Is that powerful? The God of creation would allow his children to call him Father. The Jewish people were so concerned that they wouldn't even use the word God. All the time he did all the marvelous miracles, sights and wonders, they wouldn't use the word God. But Jesus said, we can call him Dad. Now, have you ever reached the point where you felt that you were close enough to him that you could do that? Or are you like me? I still say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, glorious God, in the name of Jesus. I find comfort in being obedient to one of the principles that we talked about last week, and that is pray in the name of Jesus. It gives me comfort. Does it give you comfort, or am I the only one? I see God as awesome. How great thou art. That song, isn't that a wonderful song? And even though my Savior said, you can call our Father Dad, I still like to say Father in the name of Jesus, because I need my brother Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I need to be holding him. I always remember the woman with the blood issue. Different from all the rest with their problems, she had a hold of him. The scripture many times says, follow me, follow me, follow me. I followed a lot of people, and you can follow them from afar, you can follow them up close. But if you really want to get close to them, get a hold of them. You ever see a daddy leading his son, holding his hand? Isn't that something? That's how I want to be with my Lord and Savior. I want to be near him. Do you? Does it give you comfort to know that you can be near him? He doesn't give you a straight arm like they do in football. He says, you draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He even says something else. He says, if you do draw near to me, Satan will disappear out of your life for a while. Satan does not want to be around people that are near Christ. Amen? Amen. And I wanted to tell you how Jesus addressed his dad. That sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? Stick in your throat. He said this, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." All of you have heard that before, but how many of you know the next verse? The 42nd verse, same chapter. When I read this, and Ann read it with me, I believe it's the first time I've seen it. And I've read it and read it and read it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever read Scripture over and over and over and over and even memorized it and come to find out you just missed something? This next one says, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." What's he saying? Father, it's not going to pass from me, so I'll drink it. Because, Father, I'm obedient unto you unto death. How many of you had noticed that before? Let me see your hands. "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Is that something? Dad, even if I'm not rewarded, I'll do what you tell me. And my dad would tell my mom, "You know, we've raised a good boy." There's times he don't understand why we're doing things, but he's a good boy. And I'd overhear it. And you know what it would make me feel like? I love my daddy. And I love my mom. Did you ever have anybody tell someone, "Boy, my daughter's a fine person. My son is a fine person." You know, last week the man said, "We tried to raise him right, teach him right from wrong. And he's always blessed her home. But he's kind of forgetful about church on Sunday. And if he gets with the wrong crowd, would you let him hold your arm? Don't let him fly too high, Lord. Clip his wings, but don't let him fall too hard. You know what's best." Jesus says, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." That is profound if there was ever a statement. Principle 6, praying in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27. "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." What a promise. If you never believed in the Trinity, right now is a good time for you to say amen. He says that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, will do something for us that we don't even have to ask for. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. You know why? He's dwelling in us. He's us. So he knows us. And when we miss the mark, the Holy Spirit hasn't missed the mark. And if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit will pray for you on your behalf and probably then alert you to how you missed the mark. Have you ever had that to happen? And then you'll come back and kneel and pray, "Lord, forgive me." But your conscience is almost clear before you make the prayer. It's because the Holy Spirit is intercessed on your behalf. And Jesus Christ at the right hand of God is there on your behalf. He's interceding on our behalf. The Holy Spirit. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. John 14, 17. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is also..." For you people that have studied the Master Life series, this is also one of the principles included in the six disciplines, spend time with the Master. Read it again. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Spend time with the Master. Listen, if you're a Christian and you're obedient, you're spending time with the Master right now. The Holy Spirit dwells in you right now and does a lot on your behalf and my behalf. John 14:7, you ought to mark that one in your Bible, and you ought to think about that a lot. When a person believes in Christ as Savior, his estate is wonderfully changed from grim conditions and condemnation to privileged sonship. Do you ever think about that? You ever think about it? You have an estate whether you have any money or not. You have an estate where you have any cows. You have an estate whether you have any property. We have an estate. And the estate that we have in the flesh has been changed from condemnation to privileged sonship. This new standing grants us believers the legal right and spiritual privilege of divine sonship in God and heirs with Jesus Christ. What do you think of that? Wouldn't you like to memorize that statement? That's just a statement from me. But you can go through the Bible and dig it out, and you can put it together, because that's what it says. When a person believes in Christ as Savior, his estate is wonderfully changed from grim condemnation to privileged sonship. This new standing grants to believers the legal right and spiritual privilege of divine sonship in God and heirs with Jesus Christ. Principle 7. Prayer that is supported by the Word. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let me ask you the other side of the coin. What should you do if you don't love him? If you love me, keep my commandments. What about the ones that say, but I don't love him? Well, what about the ones that say, I love him, and then he says, well, then why don't you keep my commandments? What about the ones that say, well, I don't love you, but I keep your commandments? Is that possible? In both statements, we're dealing with hypocrites. Have you ever met any? Don't tell me about it. You may be pointing at me. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you were honest and I ask you how many love Jesus, put your hands up. You all love him, don't you? All right, here's the next one. How many of you keep his commandments? All right. How many of you don't love him? But how many of you keep his commandments? The only difference is just one phrase out of three. I gave you three phrases. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, if you don't love me, but I keep your commandments. I guess what I'm simply saying is, you ought to give this some real thought. Because there may be a lot of us in here tonight that claim we love Jesus. But there are very few, as Andrew was preaching this morning. And that's what he was really preaching about. I mean, it was a wonderful sermon. And if they, you know, in the old days, they would say, if the shoe fits, wear it. There may have been somebody in here that felt a little tightening of the shoe this morning. He may have his wings clipped, and God better be there to catch him before he gets very far down the line. I don't know. But I'm telling you this, he's preaching the Word. And the Word has to be preached faithfully. Anything less than that, and you're not being obedient to the command, are you? Many times I think, well, we could come in here and preach a sermon and really have a good time doing it, because it's my nature to have a good time as opposed to a more sober, somber time. But when you're dealing with things as we are tonight that are so mightily important as prayer, prayer is the absolute most important element of the Christian life while we're still in this body. It is the method that we use day and night. Makes no difference. When Gary had that terrible experience that he recognized as something happening to his body, I know without asking that he was praying to God. And not knowing what to pray, the Holy Spirit was praying on his behalf. Are you aware of that? And it was only an act of God that saved his life. Are you aware of that? Huh? Is our Lord good? And if he would save his life now, what does Gary have to worry about now? He says, even though you die, yet will you live, and he who lives in me will never die. Well, Gary's been to the edge. Some of you have been to the edge. But I'm going to tell you something. A prayer life based on love and obedience will bring results. It'll bring results. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, could you make it any clearer than that? If you were raising a child and you said, son or daughter, here is what I'm instructing you. And if you do what I'm telling you and you do it while I'm away, when I come back this evening, that thing that you want, that you've asked for, you will receive. And the child did what you had asked, and when you came home, they received it. Do you think that you would have established something between yourself and the child that would be lasting? I tell you, my dad did with me. I began to realize that my dad meant what he said and said what he meant. And I could count on it. I could take that to the bank, as they say. John 17:9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. This 17th chapter of John is a particularly important chapter in the prayer discipline. It is a complete prayer, a whole chapter of prayer given by Jesus the night he was betrayed. Lots of people that aren't deeply in Bible studies don't realize that when Jesus would come into Jerusalem, the first place he would go was to the temple. When he would leave the temple, then he would go maybe back to Bethpage or to the Mount of Olives. They spent a lot of time over at the Mount of Olives. But when he would leave, he would always stop at the temple and then go out that gate that exited from the temple to the Kidron Valley. They'd go down the Kidron Valley and across the Kidron Brook and up to the Mount of Olives, or across on the other side was Bethsaida. The night that Jesus and his disciples had their Last Supper, when Jesus and the disciples departed from the room, they went to the temple. And the 17th chapter of John tells you what Jesus did in the temple. The 15th chapter of John tells you that as he came to the temple and recognized the big doors, the big heavy steel doors that Herod had built in Lebanon and brought down there and put on his temple, and had the goldsmiths of Israel put the signature of Israel on the doors, the grapevine. The grapevine, even to this day, is symbolic with Israel. And Jesus said to them, see, Israel, I'm the vine, not Israel. And you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. You understand that? 17th chapter of John. Next time you read it, read it. And know that after he had prayed that, they departed, went across the Kidron Valley, and sometime around midnight, Jesus was arrested. And you know what happened after that. The rest of the night, the next morning, the cross, 3 o'clock, the death. The last time he was in the temple, he prayed for himself. I just read what he said, Oh, Father. Oh, Father. And he prayed for you and me. He prayed for the disciples. Read it. Wouldn't you like to be able to pray a prayer like Jesus Christ prayed that night? I'm going to close with this thought. I know the time's getting away, but I wanted to cover these seven principles in their entirety. I wish that there was some way that you could combine them and really study them, and really take the scripture and apply it to your heart, and at least be absolutely positive in your own mind that you are disciplined in praying in faith. That you could absolutely become a prayer warrior on behalf of your brothers and sisters, that you had a communication with the Heavenly Father that was so absolutely available to you that any hour, the day and night, no matter when the message come, that you could plug in and know that if you were spiritually praying and His Word was in you, in other words, you're praying according to the Word, not according to the flesh, according to the Word, that it'd be done for you. In fact, I want to say this. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And then 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. James, I love this because there's so much of this going on in our church, and it's a small church. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. We have a lot of that, don't we? Let him pray. Now, there's another verse that says, gather the elders, let them anoint you and pray over him. I didn't put that in there because I'm talking to you about a discipline that says you pray. You pray. You pray. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. And then I just love this. If we had time, we'd do it. Is anyone cheerful? Let me see a smile. Did you guys win any games this weekend? Oh, well, you will tomorrow or the next day. Cheerful, cheerful. And it says, then sing. Wouldn't you like to sing? Wouldn't you like to have one of those Gaither songs right now? Huh? I mean, can you feel it welling up, swelling up inside you? If you're sick, what do you do? If you're suffering, if not sick, if you're suffering, you don't have to be sick. There's a lot of us that are suffering, and we're not sick at all. We're suffering about our family, our loved ones. We're so concerned about our country. We're suffering. It says pray. Doesn't that give you some peace and confidence? Listen, we could do like that church in Korea that I told some of you about. We could stay right here the rest of this night and have breakfast together and pray all night. Because everyone in here is suffering. But if there are some of you that are cheerful, get the piano turned on and we'll sing. We'll make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I would love it, wouldn't you? I'm going to close with a couple of thoughts here. I want you to think about majoring in the majors. I don't know if you've ever heard that statement or not. Major in the majors. In this case, the majors are the ABCs of the discipline praying in faith. The majors. And the ABCs of a major is an honest, intelligent effort supported by knowledge and wisdom, applied effectively daily, always results in reward. Are you with me? That's the ABCs. Now, to do that, it requires action. We used to say in the insurance business, we had a lot of people that didn't practice the ABCs. They practiced the E and F. A, B, C, D, E, F. The ABCs is just what I said. An honest, intelligent effort supported by knowledge and wisdom and applied effectively daily. Always is rewarded. It never is not rewarded. It's always rewarded. But those that practice it have to take action. They just can't sit at the coffee shop and drink. Now, the ones that spent their time eeing and effing were the ones that come up with busy work, have great ideas. I'd like to be an administrator is what I want to be. I would like to count paper clips. I don't want to pitch. I want to keep the scorecard. That's eeing and effing. The action is on the field, fella. Major in the majors. I'll give you an example. A major award in the Bible. I don't have time to explore it, but one of these nights, maybe God will give me the chance. There is 5 major awards in the Bible, and they're all crowns. One of them is a crown of glory. One of them is a crown of righteousness. There's 3 more crowns. That's the major award. But there was a movie called Red Ryder Christmas. And the father was so thrilled to receive his major award. Does anybody remember what his major award was? It was a plastic leg of a woman with a lampshade over it. Remember? On my major award. We call that majoring in the minors. Are you with me? So if you're going to become disciplined in praying in faith, then major in the majors. Don't major in the minors. The reward is so much greater. Paul said that he was going to get one, that there was a crown. Peter said he was going to have one, there was a crown. Somebody said in our Sunday school class today, Billy Graham said, "I just wish you would say, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant.'" And if they don't say that for Graham, who will they say it for? Well, I'm going to tell you, they will say it for Graham, and guess what his reward will be? We'll know the soul winner reward that is awaiting Billy Graham, won't we? And that's one of the rewards. The imperishable will be waiting on all of us, because in our new body, it is no longer perishable. It's imperishable. So run the race. Fight the good fight. There is a reward waiting for every one of you. Revelation 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me." Listen to me. Can you conceive that? Can you conceive it? Matthew 21:22. "All and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe and you will receive it." Can you believe that? Can you conceive it? Can you believe it? Mark 9:23. Jesus said, "And if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Then we ought to be able to achieve it. Conceive it, believe it, achieve it. There's the word. Just stand on the word. Just stand on the word. Don't stand on some motivating speaker that you paid $40 to go hear. Just stand on the word. There it is, 3 times. Conceive it, believe it, and achieve it. Luke 4, "With God, nothing will be impossible." Receive his blessing in our life. We must ask. We must ask. Ask. And you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Behold, I stand at your heart's door and knock. If there's anyone in here tonight that has any problems with any of the principles that I spent with you tonight and putting them together, you call me and I'll visit with you in detail. I'm sure that no one has, because I can feel that the Holy Spirit has opened the minds and hearts of every one of you in here, and that you clearly understand what we've been talking about, what God has led us to speak on. But if the Spirit, and you can be saved, you can be born again and be born again for 60 years like I have been, but if the Holy Spirit says it's time for you to listen because Jesus is knocking at your heart door and he's saying, "I really don't have a problem with you, I just want to come in and dine with you. I want to spend some time with you, Doris. Spend time with the Master. I just want to come in and spend some time." See, we always think that we have to come to the altar and admit something, commit something. No, no. He says, "I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me." What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like friendship, fellowship, spending time with the Master? It just thrills me to death. I don't have to do something bad in order to get Dad's attention. I could do something good, but he's knocking. If he's knocking at your door, You surely would almost say, come on in, Jesus. What can I fix for you? You know, he's interdenominational. He might drink a cup of tea. I don't know. I knew he changed a lot of water into wine. I don't know, but I know if he's knocking at your door and you feel motivated to come up here, you come up here. But it doesn't have to come up here and bring woe, despair and agony on me. It doesn't have to be that, but it can be. He'll take care of that too. If there's joy in your heart, then sing. And if you hear the knock and you just want to come up here and say, thank you, Jesus, for revealing to me through that fat guy, Gil Lawson, I received a blessing tonight and I don't even like him. But I have been blessed tonight and you're welcome to come in and dine with me. In fact, I would consider it a privilege beyond words. Amen? All right, let's do it.